Good morning, everyone. Once again, happy Mother's Day. It is a good time to remember those people in our lives that did make such a great impact on us. And whatever figure your mother was, good or bad, I mean, we're all flawed. We all make mistakes. We all know that God provides, that God is faithful, and that He loves us. And He provides people in our lives to fulfill the role of mother, even when we don't have a good mother figure in our lives. But many of us did have good mother figures, and we are thankful for that. If you would please turn to the book of Ruth. We'll be going through much of the book of Ruth this morning. This is an amazing book in my calculation because it is so powerfully connected to the church and the things that Jesus did. And I am so impressed with this person, Ruth. Have you read about Ruth, and are you impressed with her and the impact that she made on the world, really, because of her decisions? And I think I want to be faithful like Ruth is. I want to be the kind of person that Ruth is, because she sought the Lord's will over her own. We turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 through 7 together. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with two sons. They married there. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons and her husband. Now, just pausing there for a moment, I find it very interesting how the names of people in Hebrew reflect what's going on in their lives. Mahlon and Chilion both lend to the idea of sickness. So how in the world, I don't know if that's just coincidence. I don't know if that's the Lord working and telling a tale through their very names. But I don't think they were named afterwards, as some people suppose. But even the other names in this story are significant, and we'll get to those in a moment. Verse 6, when she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there with her two daughters-in-law. She left the place where she had been living and set out on a road that would take them back to the land of Judah. So here is this figure, right now the central figure, Naomi. And she's lost her husband and her two sons. Now, to us, that sounds tragic, but for her, that is very tragic because we don't understand in the culture of that day, she had no one to take care of her or her daughters, for that matter. At that point, she was truly destitute. She had nothing. And so she heard that the famine was over back in Israel, back in Judah, so she went back to the land hoping to find some grace. And on the journey, I'm sure she is filled with bitterness. She's filled with bitterness. As many of us say, why, Lord, why did this all happen to me? Not just my husband, but both of my sons are now passed on. What am I supposed to do, Lord? We've all been in that valley before where we're just not sure what the next step is. Things look so dark, and you even start to question, is God really there? Is God really there? When grief overwhelms, people have to decide whether we will go closer to God or push Him away. And I confess to you this morning that there are times when I've pushed Him away, when I've been so angry with Him that I said, where are you? What are you doing? Only in retrospect, years later, could I look back and say, oh, that's what you were doing. And He is always with us. In fact, He is always, always with us, and He's promised, never will I leave you. But there are times in our humanness we question that. And here was Naomi, no stranger to bitterness. Her faith was shaken. Her faith remained in God in some sense. She hadn't let go of everything, because you can see it in the things that she says. But in this moment in her life, everything just seems so dark, so distant, and it needs a little maturity, as we all do. We all mature. We're not Christians the way we should be all at once, are we? We grow. We grow stronger because of the things that God puts in our lives, and we don't enjoy the discipline at the time, but it does make us stronger. Faith remains. Even though it's shaken at times, faith remains, and the people of God mature through the pruning process that Jesus puts us through. Though it never feels good at the time, it has very powerful results. Let's read further in Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, starting with verse 8. It says, "Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me.'" May the Lord, and when she says the Lord, she's saying Jehovah God. "May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." At this point, all Naomi can think about is economy. That's all she can focus on. "I have no food to provide for you. At least back home, you won't starve." But her daughters-in-law are so attached to her and love her so much, they're saying, "We want to go with you. We don't want to go back to our own homeland. We'll go with you." What does Naomi say in response to this? "But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me?'" Have you ever been that depressed, where you just feel like you're not worth anything? And you wonder why people like anything about you? That's a lie that comes from the devil, by the way, who tries to destroy us continuously. That's where Naomi was. She was saying, "Where is God? My life is a mess. Why would you want to stick with me?" Aren't we thankful for people who stick with us, even in the valleys? We'll read on. Verse 12, "Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up?" Remember, she's still thinking economy. "Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. And I always wonder, what happened to Orpah after that? That's the end of the story, as far as we know. For Orpah, what happened to her after that? But Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods." Wow. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that Naomi would say, "Well, your sister is going back to her false gods. Go with her. Go back with her." Boy, an opportunity was truly missed there, because Naomi could only see herself. I've been there, have you? Where things are so bad, all you can think about is yourself. And we can't hear God's voice, because we're so distracted by the things going on in our lives. It's terrible advice. Terrible advice. When we're overwhelmed with grief, we can grow very selfish, very numb to the promises and activity of God in our lives. But God did not leave Naomi destitute. And that's the powerful turn in this story, where things begin to change. God reassures Naomi. And while Naomi says, "Everybody, just call me Mara. Quit calling me Naomi." And that brings me to the names. I want to tell you a little bit about the key players in this story, the people who are mentioned here. First of all, Naomi. Her name means blessedness, and now she's saying, "Call me bitterness. Call me bitterness. Poison. You can feel the disdain in that statement. Call me Mara. There's nothing good about me. I'm pure poison. I'm dead to the world. But then there's Ruth. Ruth's name means shepherd or to care for a friend. Isn't that awesome? I want to be called Ruth. No, not really. And then later, we'll learn about Boaz. And Boaz, his name literally means pillar of strength or salvation will not delay. Now, isn't that fascinating? And by the way, Boaz becomes the redeemer in this story. Boaz redeems Ruth and in turn redeems Naomi. And there's just a fascinating twist to that whole thing. But I did not realize until I started researching all of this who Boaz's mother was. It didn't really click. Yeah, I've read the genealogies in Matthew a million times, but I never really caught it. Boaz's mother was Rahab, the woman of Jericho, who spared the lives of the two spies. She hid them, if you remember that. And they often speculate that the man who married Rahab, you remember she was spared from the destruction of Jericho? They speculate that one of those two spies married her and his name was Salmon. Salmon, his name means outer garment, and it implies the idea of the old being replaced by the new, which is very a beautiful picture of Christ's righteousness. Are we not clothed in Christ? Here was Rahab, who was a sinful woman, and she was redeemed by Salmon and by the nation of Israel, a Gentile brought into the fold because of her faith. And that's the legacy that Ruth is now connected to. And Boaz, recognizing who his mother was, would, of course, be open to the Lord's leading in everything else. Do you have people in your lives that have left a legacy of faith, who have impacted you in a powerful way, who truly love you deeply from their heart, and have prayed for you so that you would be closely associated with the Lord at all times? I'm thankful for those people. But here is Naomi coming back home. We read in Ruth chapter 1, starting with verse 16. Ruth replied to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God." When she says that, she's saying the general term for God. But read on. "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried." Sense the devotion that Ruth has to her mother-in-law. And then she says, "May the Lord," and she says the word Jehovah, very specific, his proper name. "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on. I am thankful for the people who don't let go. Aren't you? When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the woman exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi? Whatever happened to Naomi?" And here she is strolling back into town. And now we read about Boaz. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 22, it begins, "So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." Another neat side note to all of this is happening during the period that we call Pentecost. It was the barley harvest. Later, it would be called first fruits in the Old Testament law. They were not, strangers to the idea of what was going on there. But it's just significant what happened at Pentecost for all of us. The church was born on Pentecost. And did you know that our Jewish friends who have yet to accept a Savior, by the way, read the book of Ruth during Pentecost. I find it fascinating. When you see the parallels of Ruth and Boaz and Naomi, it's a powerful story. But in any case, let's continue on. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her father's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Now you have to know, in the Old Testament law, there was a provision for leaving the outside of the field for the poor to come and glean grain. The Israelites were supposed to allow the poor to come and reap from their fields. Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and she began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. I like that little statement in the sentence, "as it turned out." In other words, the Lord was working, his hand was present. And Boaz was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord, Jehovah, be with you. The Lord bless you," they called back. Here's a man of faith, a man who believes in the one true God with all of his heart. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" Notice he takes notice of her. The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and was working steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls, watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such," notice this word, "favor." We have another word we use often that is favor in the church. That's grace. "Why have I found such grace in your eyes?" Have you ever asked the Lord, "Why have I found such grace in you? What did I ever do to deserve that?" And the answer we know is nothing. Nothing. There is nothing we have done or can do to merit the grace of God. It is a gift. And that's what we're supposed to pick up from the story. So Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord, Jehovah, repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Have we not taken refuge under the Lord's wings? We found his grace, and it is sweet, is it not, church? "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. I recall the people who approached Jesus and said, 'I'm not worthy. I'm a Gentile. I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. I'm not worthy to eat the food from your table, but I'll take the scraps. I'm not worthy.' At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar.' When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over." That's the grace of God, isn't it? There's plenty and lots left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Give her all she needs. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. There's plenty. And that's the way the grace of God works. There is more than enough because of what Jesus did. Jesus accomplished what we could never accomplish at the cross, and because of that, there is more than enough for any who are willing. God is that good. So Naomi begins to realize God is doing something here. She who called herself Mara will once again be known as Naomi. In Ruth chapter 2, starting with verse 19, we read these words. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord," meaning Jehovah, "bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. Now see the change in Naomi's tune." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Isn't that powerful? For the law of Moses had a provision that if a brother died, another brother could redeem that wife, meaning all of the inheritance, all of the land would stay in that family, just to summarize. Now, if there was no brother, then the nearest relative could do that as well, so that the women under the culture of the day would be provided for and their children would be provided for. In other words, the land and all the blessings, all of the wealth would stay within the family. Otherwise, if you had no one, you would be destitute. So here is Boaz, the closest of kin, to redeem the land back into the family. And Naomi immediately recognizes the Lord's providing for us. He's doing something I never would have expected to happen. Then Ruth the Moabitess, verse 21, said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finished harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." Notice the shelter and protection that the Lord provides. So the Lord is definitely with them. He is providing for them. He has not left them alone. Naomi is seeing the hand of the Lord at work. She remembers the promises that God is with his people and will not leave them, that he is faithful, will not forsake, but will redeem. And she recognizes that the land and everything that they once had will once again be theirs, the promises restored. I have to pause and think about that. Israel has been cursed because they rejected the Messiah. You think about that. How terrible, how destitute spiritually they've become because they've turned away from the one Savior that could save them. And yet, Boaz the Redeemer turns to Ruth, the Gentile bride, and he eventually marries her. And because of that marriage, Naomi, once again, is blessed. And I see a parallel to that, that the church, though predominantly Gentile, was brought into the fold of God and has made Israel blessed. Because do we not reach out to the Jews, even though there are many who reject the Messiah? We still offer the blessings of God because God gave those blessings to us. And as Paul said, don't be arrogant, because none of us deserve what we have. Amen? None of us. So to make a long story short, the saints of God overcome when they cling to him, even in the adversity, even in the difficulty, the tribulation, the trials. I would love to go into all the details of this book this morning, but that would take a long, long time. Boaz becomes the redeemer of Ruth, and everything is good. And through Naomi, others are blessed as well. And I think about that. Grief always feels terrible. But when we cling to the Lord, great things happen. And even when our faith is shaken, our Lord's faithfulness is never shaken, church. We read in Ruth chapter 4, the end of the story. It says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout all Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. And the women living there said, Naomi has a son. Isn't that powerful? And they named him Obed. And this is where the story gets really exciting. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Isn't it fascinating that in the line of Jesus Christ, you find Rahab and you find Ruth? Two faithful Gentile women who saw that this is the living and true Lord and with all their hearts pursued him. May we be that faithful. May we be that determined to please the Lord. So Naomi was catapulted from bitterness into blessing, from grief to belief. We all go through seasons of doubt, but when our faith is shaken, remember, he who makes the promises is always what, church? Faithful. He has not left us without a redeemer, destitute and forsaken. But rather, as 1 Peter chapter 2 says, if you want to turn there, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. To say that you are not chosen and favored when you have accepted Christ, or to say that you are incapable of being cleansed and completely forgiven through Christ, is to call God a liar, because God said it. He is more than able to meet all of our needs. And we have to forgive ourselves sometimes of the things that we have done so that we can be freed from the past and enabled for God for the future. He is more than able. He loves us. He is faithful. And when the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. So live in that freedom. Find the grace that sets you free. And do not believe the enemy. Because if the things in your past have shackles on you, it's time to break the chains so that you can live for God in all the fullness of his blessings, so that his kingdom will be blessed and his name glorified. Release the things that have captured you so that your past will no longer be a dark shadow on your record, but rather allow the blood of Christ to wash you clean from all things that captivate you. Find the grace that is so available in Christ. Ruth found it. Naomi found it. Rahab found it. Israel found it. And we have found it. Do not disregard the grace of God. It is powerful. And the Word of God is with us. the living word of God. His name is Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. Place all your faith in him. And as you celebrate Mother's Day, remember the one who redeemed you and share that redemption richly and generously for those who don't have him. Would you please stand and pray with me? Lord God Almighty, thank you for the grace that was so richly given to us. We are thankful that we are set free in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we pray that you'll be with each and every one of us to enable us to quit listening to the devil, his lies, to quit destroying ourselves, thinking that we are irredeemable or worthless. You have called us chosen, and not because of any good thing we have done, but because of your great mercy. So, Lord God, help us to believe in your capacity to show mercy and help us to believe the promises you have given. You have called us chosen, a royal priesthood. Help us to live up to the titles that you have bestowed upon us because you are faithful. Help us too, Lord, to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.